Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Living series is actually such an important thing for us to think about, and that's why we're having this series. It's, we really ought to understand as Christians what it looks like to be a Christian, right? Like if we say that we follow Jesus, but then we don't really follow Jesus, I think we're missing something, right? And so this Kingdom Living series to be like, okay, how do we follow Christ? What does it look like for us to be a Christian? And the Sermon on the Mount, guys, the Sermon on the Mount goes hard. The Sermon on the Mount is such a beautiful account of Jesus speaking to his people with a heart to see them living for God. His heart was for them. His heart was aching to see his people come alive to the Father in heaven. And as he's speaking to them, he's wanting them to change their minds on some things and to live actively for God. And I think for us, it speaks so much to what it looks like for us to live for God. And as Jesus is speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, though, he's really reflecting a prophetic heart. And what I mean by that is that the prophets of old were saying pretty similar things to what Jesus was saying. The heart is God has always wanted his people to follow him. But the thing is, we as a people tend to make things complicated, right? Because we're kind of complicated people with complicated problems, and we bring those things everywhere that we go. So then we take this simple faith that should be to follow God, and then we make it very complex and unnecessarily so. So Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, is reflecting this heart that the prophets had to be like, let's just follow God. And one prophet in specific that I think Jesus really echoes is the prophet Micah. Anybody here know the prophet Micah? I mean, not personally, because dude's dead, spoiler alert. Anybody here read through the book of Micah? Let's go, a couple of you. I haven't read it in a long time. I don't even know how many chapters are in there. But I do know the chapter that I'm about to go through is really good, all right? So the prophet Micah's heart, though, was really for God's people, all right? Like, he was a man of the people. He wanted to see justice in the land. He wanted to see his people just following God because he saw all of the turmoil and struggles that they were going through. And, you know, he wasn't a big shot like, you know, Isaiah, who the early church loved so much that they called the book of Isaiah like the sixth gospel. Like, no, he wasn't this big shot prophet like Isaiah, but man, he loved his people. Man, he served his people. And he had this question, and this question is really what's echoed in this series. And this question is, what does the Lord require? What does the Lord require? I think that's an important question for us to be asking too. What does the Lord require? And this question is being asked through this series of questions. And this is in Micah 6:6-7. It says this, with what shall I come before the Lord? You know, what do I bring before God? What can I bring before God? With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? As bit dramatic, but you know, it's real. He's like, what can we bring before God? How do we follow him? You know, he's so perfect and steadfast and holy. Like, how can I appease him? How can I follow him? And I think sometimes we wrestle with that too. Is like, Lord, how can I please you? Like, Lord, I'm trying all of these different things, and it never feels like I'm quite good enough. It never feels like it's not enough. Like, what if I just serve more? What if I do this more? What if I just tithe more? It's like, how, Lord, can I follow you? How can I please you? And the conclusion that Micah gets to in verse 8 is pretty similar to what Jesus was saying on the Sermon on the Mount. And that's it's really to keep it simple. because we make things complex, but it's really simple. This is what Micah said. This is what the conclusion that he came to. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Whew. Guys, that hits. That hits. That's what the Lord requires. You know, sometimes we think, yeah, do I give my firstborn to God? No, the Lord requires a heart that seeks him. The Lord requires a heart that's humble before him, that we recognize our need for him. We recognize that we are not enough and that we are in need of him who is the author of life and hope and all of these good things. And it's such a simple response, but our response to what God is calling us to should be simple. Because it's a simple request to follow him, to humbly follow him. That's what God requires of us. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. And as we read through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is addressing this issue, this poison that's in God's people. And this poison that was brought in by a Pharisaical religious mindset that if I jump through all of these hoops and I perform these sacrifices and I give this amount of grain at this certain time, then I'm going to be good before God and let's go. But Jesus is like, that's not how that works. The Pharisees who look, you know, they look the part, they got the big beard, the hats, and they're all decked out in their stuff, and they're like, oh yeah, we're the Pharisees, just chilling out. He's like, that's not what actual righteousness looks like. That's an outward appearance. The Pharisees, see, they built this complex system of rules to avoid breaking the law, but in doing so, they actually lost track of what the law was about, and that is to simply humble ourselves before God, to love what is good, to love others. And Jesus is saying, we got to get back to that on the Sermon on the Mount. Following God shouldn't be complicated, but we like to make things complicated. And so when Jesus in chapter 6, you know, we've been talking about the you have heards. You know, Brenton was talking about that last week, I believe, the last you have heard. Jesus comes flying in with an elbow on this next chapter in chapter 6. He says, watch out. Watch out, watch out, watch out. Randy Orton comes slithering in. You know, he's coming in with that watch out because there's something deadly happening. There's something deadly happening. People are more focused on their outward appearance than what's happening in here. You know, outside, you look good, right? You know, you put on Sunday best, ready to go to church. But inside, whoa, it's a mess. You know, somebody says hi, and you're like, ugh. You know, the inside's a mess, and that's what Jesus is addressing here. You can look good on the outside, but what matters is what's within. So Matthew 6, 1-4. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly. Whoa, okay. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing their trumpets in the synagogues and in the streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Sheesh. You know, Jesus is showing the listeners on the Mount Olive here. It's not about the showy things that you do if you're doing it with the wrong motives. That's a key thing that I want to talk about this morning. You know, we want to keep it simple. Well, keeping it simple means that we've got to have the right motives. We've got to have a simple motive, as Micah talked about, walking humbly with God. But in life, like the Pharisees and like the people that Jesus was talking to, sometimes we do life for the sake of other people and looking and having a certain image. You know, we want to look like we have things together. We want to seem successful. Maybe we are, and we want people to know that so we don't get looked down on. But Jesus is saying those things are useless. If we give, it shouldn't be for clout. It shouldn't be for people's approval, because that's the reward in and of itself. You'll get nothing else. But when we give out of generosity, out of abounding love, we give with the Lord's heart, and we're blessed by God for that. You know, we're living out his calling. So Jesus is saying, you know, give spontaneously. Don't do it for other people. Do it because your Father sees you, and because your Father loves you, because your Father knows you. And when Jesus is calling the people who do this hypocrites, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And hypocrisy is a big deal. And sometimes we see a lot of it in the church. And we see it everywhere because people struggle. We struggle, and we don't like the struggle. So we just, you know, put on a mask and we pretend we're good. But Jesus is bringing wariness to this. He's saying, watch out for this hypocrisy. And actually, the word in Greek, hypokrites, translates to a stage player, to an actor, to an actor. So the Pharisees, you know, giving out in public and saying, yeah, look at me. They're acting, you know, they're on Netflix, roll the clip. They're doing their thing. They're performing. It's a performance. But Jesus doesn't want a performance. Following God simply isn't a performance. For us, when we read this, when I was reading this, I'm like, oh man, oftentimes my walk with God seems more like a performance than a relationship with him. Because I'm just trying to look good for other people and even look good for God. But we can't fool God. And at the end of basically every paragraph that's in this chapter, there's always the Father sees. The Father knows. The Father knows our hearts. There's no use trying to hide. There's no use trying to pretend. He sees the farce. He sees the inside of the mask. He knows. So why are we playing? And so for the Pharisees, following God was more of a performance than a genuine heart for God. And I hope as we're listening to this morning, as we read Jesus' words, that we would be wary of that too, and that our Christian walk wouldn't become a performance, that it wouldn't be trying to appease the expectations of others or what we believe are the expectations of others, but that we would appease what God is calling us to do, to walk humbly with him. And as Jesus is talking to the crowd, he's hitting all of these points of religious observance. So there's three major areas of religious observance that the Jewish people at that time would have been following, and that would have been to be generous, to give to the poor, as we just read. You know, Jesus addresses how to do generosity correctly. And then there's prayer, and then there's fasting. And so, you know, we could do good things. We can do the right things. But as we can see, if we do them with the wrong heart, if we do it with the wrong motive, if we do it as a show, as a performance, it actually means nothing to God, which is whom we should be doing these things for. And so Jesus continues on, and as he's saying this, he's telling his people, you know, not to follow God out of this fear of God's anger, try to appease him, or out of obligation or for people's approval, but from a genuine heart. And he continues on addressing prayer in Matthew 6:5-8, and he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, the actors, the performers, who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need before you ask him. I love that every time he ends the paragraph there, ends this thought. Father sees. So if we do prayer, for the sake of other people, our prayers are kind of useless because they're not for other people. I mean, yes, you can pray for other people, but we pray because we want to be in relationship with God, right? We pray not to people, we pray to God. We pray because we want to be with God, we want to know God, but if we're praying so that we look holy or we look righteous, the big words, the theological phrases that we use don't mean anything to God. What he cares about is the heart coming to him. And so many times, you know, over the years, I've seen people not pray out loud because they're afraid of not saying the right thing. And if that's the case, don't worry about it. That's not the point. The point isn't to have fancy words or to say something that seems deep and profound. It's to talk to God and to see God move, to be changed by him. That's why we pray. And so Jesus is saying, don't be like the Pharisees who go out, oh, look at me pray, look at me pray. No, go with the Father in the secret place. And man, that's where he's going to change your heart. And as we're talking about motives and hypocrisy, the best way to combat that is the secret place, is the genuine prayer with God. Because before him, what can we hide? You know, before him, what could we possibly try to fool? He knows. He sees. So why not let go? Why not let go of the burdens? Why not let go of the sins? Why not let go of the act and say, Lord, I need you? That's why the secret place is so vital. And I encourage you to keep prioritizing the secret place because that's what's going to continue to shape and change our motives to follow God simply. Because when we're with him, he's our shelter. When we're with him, we find hope and we find grace. But if we never run to him, we'll never find that grace. Because only he provides it. And when we spend time with God in prayer, you know, he aligns our hearts with him. And he changes from our motives to his motives. And we need that. We need that. And so Jesus continues on talking about what it looks like to pray. And he goes through the Lord's Prayer. I'm not really going to touch on that. I believe Derek or somebody is going to preach on that next week. But kind of the gist of what the Lord's Prayer was encouraging the people to do was to focus on God's will. To focus on his will, not others, recognizing our need for him and our lives for what we need, for to live righteously with him and just in general. So as Jesus is talking to the people, the main point is having a humble heart for him and letting his heart guide us. And then after he finishes talking about the Lord's Prayer, he says this in Matthew 16:14-18. He says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast, again, this is one of the major religious observances that the Jewish people were trying to follow. And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people would admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, and no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. The motives are important. The heart is important. You know, there's that proverb that talks about from what's inside the heart, you know, will dictate our lives. Like, it's so important for us to keep track of what's going on in here. If we're holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness, we're not actually going to receive the fullness of the forgiveness from Jesus because we're not even open to his will. We're not willing to humble ourselves before him because we're holding on to these things. And when we hold on to these things, they grow and they grow and they grow if we don't bring them to the light. And so Jesus is wanting the people to live honestly and openly and simply by being genuine, by being real. And so if we want real and genuine faiths, if we want simple faiths, if we want to follow and be a Christian, well, it starts with exposing what's in here. It starts with opening up our hearts, taking off the mask, and walking humbly with God and letting him change our motives so that we would forgive people as he has forgiven us. And that our motives would be for him and not for ourselves or to appease other people. So we're not called to just be pious outwardly. Like it's good, as Jesus was saying, to give, to pray, to fast. But the motive is really what defines if it is helpful and if it is for God. If we do it for ourselves, then we're completely missing the point. So as I was reading this, I'm like, man, Lord, change my heart. Like, Lord, reveal to me the hidden motives in my life that are keeping me from following you, that are keeping me from actually blessing you. Because I could do things for other people, but I'm not getting anything out of that. And they're not really going to get anything out of that, because it's not God who's moving. It's just my flesh. So if we want to see God move in our lives and we want to see his power, we want to see him impact and work through us, we've got to align our motives with him, and he's going to lead us and he's going to walk with us, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to walk with us. He wants to move through you because he has a plan for you. But are we willing to humble ourselves and let him take charge and surrender the things that we're struggling with? But it's so easy to put on a mask and to pretend like we have it all together, right? I feel like it's kind of my default. When things go wrong, I just sweep it under the rug. I just pretend it's not there. Just pretend it's not there. Just pretend it's not there. Oh, it's coming out again. You put another rug on there. You beat it down and don't stay there. But things always come up. The things that we keep in our heart are going to bubble up at some point. They will affect our relationships. So we've got to be people who bring these things to the light. Like I'll give an example. Like the other day, I was I think on Facebook or whatever, and I'm scrolling. I was tired, and I was just sitting there. I was like, and then I saw something that I shouldn't have seen. I'm like, whoa, that's not good. It was a bit provocative. So I keep scrolling. Then I see something again, and then it starts to do something in my heart. That was like, oh, I want to see more. And then it's like, okay. You know, throw the phone on the other side of the room, and you know, go outside. I went outside. You know, touch the grass and be like, okay, like this isn't good. Like my heart was wanting more of that, but I had to say no. But the thing is, after that, you know, I felt guilty. You know, I felt wrong inside. Like, Lord, a motive was exposed in my heart, and what I wanted to do with that motive just put under the rug. Just keep it there and be like, I'll just forget about it. You know, we'll just move on with the day. You know, I'll go mow the lawn and I'll be good. And, you know, you go out throughout the day and then, you know, it still bothers. Then it's like, okay, I'm going to spend time with God, you know, Like, Lord, I'm sorry for these things in my heart. And it's like, okay, I spent time with God, right? Then it's like, oh, I should tell my wife. I should tell my accountability partner. So I do that. But then in doing that, taking off the mask, you know, taking off the mask that everything's fine, that everything's okay when it's not. And when we do that, we actually find that freedom that we're trying to find by just sweeping it under the rug. But when we keep the mask on, and if I would have just let those desires keep growing, that's a dangerous game. But oftentimes we do that with unforgiveness, with lust, with whatever. You know, we put on the mask and we keep on going. But when in the meanwhile, behind the mask, you know, we're like two-faced. The one side looks good. The other side is all burnt up. I don't know if you ever watched Batman. That was a Batman reference. But the guy has an ugly face and a nice face. Anyways, we can have this two-faced. But that's not what it looks like for us to follow Jesus. Following Jesus isn't wearing a mask. Following Jesus is a genuine heart. Like Micah was talking about, to love kindness, to do justice, to walk humbly with God. It's simple, but we make it complicated. It's simple, It's simple. Following God is simple, but we make it complicated. And again, the motives of our heart make it complicated. The masks that we wear make it complicated. So let's run. Let's be people that run before God. Let's not wear a mask. Let's not pretend and be hypocritical in our faiths that if we're struggling, let's admit it to God and admit it to other people. And the one thing that I have to remind myself too is when I want to hide things in my heart, it's like, well, one day I'm going to have to deal with it because one day I'm going to stand before God. And I'd rather deal with it now than on that time because there's no lying my way. There's no hiding myself out of that place when I meet before God. So I want to deal with it now. And the thing is, there's a fly right there. Sorry, I bet you it's the fly from this morning that I tried to kill. He's like, I'm gonna get you, get my revenge. Anyways, so we're trying to follow God and we're trying to do these things. But the thing is, we're not righteous. No one is righteous, no, not one. That's what the scriptures say. And what God wants is not this pretend, this performance, this acting. Psalm 51 says it best, so I'll just read it. Psalm 51, 16 to 17, it says, "For you will not delight in a sacrifice or that I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit. A contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." That's what he desires. You know, we pretend like, we think that we got to pretend when we go before God like everything's okay. What he wants is our heart that is in need for him. And guess what? We're all in need for him. I'm in need of him. You are in need of him. So let's be people who watch our motives. Let's take heed to Jesus' warning to watch out of our perspectives so that we could be aware when these things pop up that we can realize, oh, this motive is me trying to appease other people. Lord, help me not to appease other people. Help me to appease you because you're the one that I'm living for. We could do as many righteous things as possible, but if we're not doing it for God, if we're not doing it in humility, they're kind of useless, which is wild because I feel like I've done a lot of that. We need him, guys. We need to walk humbly with God. We need to take heed of Jesus' warning. And so for my question for you guys to think about, and I want you to think this not just now, but throughout the week, but what is motivating you? You know, what's driving your Christian walk? Is it this humility of walking with God or a performance? And sometimes, you know, there's extremes of it. And sometimes there's little roots. And I think we all have false motives in our hearts. So we all need to be aware of that. And like as the psalmist said, Lord, expose my heart, reveal to me the hidden hearts. I just encourage you to do that this week. And if this message has been speaking to you and you feel like in some areas life has been a bit of a performance or you've had some wrong motives, I encourage you to talk to someone, to bring it up with God, yes. We need to do that, again, the quiet place, but talk to someone. When we expose these things, when we bring them to the light, there's so much freedom and there's so much grace that comes alongside with it. And I'd even encourage you, go to the prayer room. Have somebody pray for you. Listen, the people in the prayer room are so awesome. They're so awesome. They want to pray for you and God wants to speak through them to you. And so another question too is, are you overcomplicating your walk with God? You know, maybe in your head, you've got to do this and you've got to do that to make God happy. Are you overcomplicating your walk with God? Is your system of faith too complex for it to be simply follow and simple obedience, a simple yes to God? If so, we need to rearrange and redirect our motives. Because following God should be simple. Following Jesus should be simple. It's a heart for him. It's the humble heart, loving kindness, doing justice. And that all stems from our love for God and his love flowing through us. So let's be people with a humble heart. I just encourage you to keep spending time with God in the quiet place, to chat with people, to keep meeting with people. Because God loves you and he wants to bring freedom in your life. He wants to lead you. Amen. I'm going to say a prayer here and then the worship team can come up. Lord, I just thank you for who you are. And Lord, I thank you that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And Lord, you see past. You see past our masks. You see past our fronts. You see past the hidden motives in our heart, Lord. You see us. You know us. So come and expose these things, God, even though it hurts, even though it's uncomfortable, even though it sucks. Come and expose these things so that we could be the people you're calling us to live, so that we, Lord, could be your kingdom people, so that we could be people who follow you, so that we could be people who love you, so that we could be people who love others. But Lord, if these hidden motives are guiding us and bringing us away from you, I pray that you would reveal them in your name, Jesus. Come and speak to the people here this week as they continue to ask themselves these questions, Lord. And I pray that you would lead us in your righteousness and in your love and empower us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.